All right, welcome to Bell Plain Finance Ways and Means meeting for Thursday, August 6th. Call to order, Councilmember Otto.
Here.
Councilmember Tease.
Here.
Councilmember Hartman.
Here.
Councilmember, Mayor Evans is here. Councilmember Stacy is absent. City staff is here looking for approval of the agenda.
I'll move on the agenda.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? On to 3.1, approval of minutes. Finance Ways and Means meeting of July 20th, 2026. Looking for a motion on those minutes.
I'll move on the minutes.
I will second.
Motion made by Hartman, seconded by Tease. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. On to 4. 4.1, overview, preliminary budget. Amy.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So this is beginning our budget process. This is early. As a reminder for you, Council has to accept the preliminary budget on September 30th, before September 30th. So the last Council meeting would be September 21st to accept, unless you would have a special meeting. So this is the first look through. You're going to see the first draft of where we're at. We're going to go through the impact. We're going to go through the department expenditure report, and then I have a couple questions on the levy of how you want to handle that. Just a reminder, this is our early look for those that may be listening to it too. The other thing, there are a lot of unknowns at this time. This was our first version copy from Scott County of our market values and of so there's a lot of unknowns. Our taxable market value may not be finalized. Our fiscal disparities, they do not have at all yet. As you can see, it's the same as last year right now. We also are not aware of mandates. For example, we just had to do a report to the state on our fire department, with the state fire marshal, and they're reporting that to the legislature in December. We don't know what's going to come out of that survey that they're going to report to the legislature. So that's one example. I'm just pulling out an example. Another one is last year during the legislative session, LGA was discussed about stopping, since the state doesn't have money, about not giving money to the state or to the local entities. And that is $780,000 we would have to adjust if they would take away our LGA. And they have done that in the past where they, even though they certify it, they take it away.
Isn't it 738?
738.
Okay.
Yes.
The fiscal disparity is not the same as last year. There must be, it's an estimate, I'm assuming, right? Because it's not the same as what was last year.
So if you look on the spreadsheet.
So up at the top, the yellow is last year's numbers. And you look at the middle column where it says final certified levy for 2026. And then the fiscal disparities under that is the same. And then you go to the green box, which will be 2027. The fiscal disparities between the green and the top and the bottom box are the same. And that's what affects our tax rate that we'll be talking about.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yep. Okay. So currently, the way we've gone, department heads have gone through the budget. This includes union, it includes COLA, and department heads looking at their department. We're at a 3.892% of a tax rate increase. So we're going to talk about the impacts, and then we'll go through some other details. So normally, we talk about the no change to compare apples to apples, because we know home values change a little bit. So if there is no change in a house value, the impact, if you follow it over, is $120.89. But if you notice below that line, and I highlighted the color of one thought, if you start over at the beginning, for most property owners saw a slight decrease in their values, which we can, that's also a factor we have to talk about. And for those 1,480 residents, the impact would be $33.26 because their values decreased slightly. The next larger group of effect of residents is the line above the no change of 648 residents, and that change of the impact would be $208.52. So once again, the no change, what we normally use, is $120.89. The 3.892 that we talked about for the tax rate change, just a things, Department of Labor, the price index from the U.S. government is 3.5 over the last 12 months. So we're within the cost of inflationary costs and price indexes. And COLA was 3.6% for the 12-year, I shouldn't say COLA, government wages. I have that printed. Wage earner index for government workers was 3.6% over the last 12 months. So, which I always look at, are we at COLA? Are we a good spot for COLA? That shows us that where the rest of the rent is. Are there any questions on this before we move on to the next page? Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. So this, you're talking about the, if no change to a house occurs, it's a $208 increase, right?
That's no. The next line down, 120.
120, sorry. Okay, that's the increase. I apologize. So it's a $120 increase. That doesn't count for the school, right? We don't count for that. But yet,
no.
Our citizens are going to pay that, right?
Correct.
And what is that added to the annual?
We don't have their.
We don't have that number. But we know it's. I thought it was like $600.
Depends on the value of the house.
Yeah.
And when they implement it, if the project isn't, when the project will be complete, and when they implement
right.
The actual.
Right. And I understand that we are not responsible for that. I totally get that. However, when we say 120, no, next year your taxes are going to go up about $700. And that's I guess where I'm sitting, where I live anyways.
The only thing we're talking about is what the city's impact will be.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't crazy when I was thinking
you're
that.
No, you're not.
Okay.
None of that is factored in.
Okay. I think it's something that we need to consider, though, that impact on our community members is impactful.
Yep. So. I think it's absolutely something you need to be aware of as you make decisions going forward.
For sure. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I was thinking that the right way, that that's not accounted for in these numbers.
We also don't account for Scott County's changes or state of Minnesota changes. So.
And it would probably be
strictly local city taxes. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, because there's going to be increases there, potentially.
Scott County is proposing 11?
11%?
I don't know. I saw it earlier this year. It was like 7 to 11%. It was a high.
I think it's...
Nothing that we can control, though.
I understand that. But now you're... You know.
Since we're talking context, I also think it's important to understand. You see like Anoka County, Anoka,
Dakota
are in the high teens. So it goes to tell you, like, if you really dig into that, just my brief look at it, looks like that was... from a couple things like depleting capital reserves over the course of the last few years, kind of procrastinating the spend and pushing off some capital stuff. So
those are the things we talk about in your long-term planning, where you're trying to keep this steady slow climb rather than create these large increases, or you're trying to not increase and hold things. But ultimately, it will catch you. Some of those decisions might look good in the short term, but in the long term, you're going to have to address it.
Mm-hmm.
There's several examples of that here in the city of Belle Plaine, even.
Yep.
So let me ask a question, Don. So we since I've been on in 22, we've always worked on the slow climb, right? Nice and slow, steady. Slow and steady wins the race.
Yep.
If you go back and look at taxes, though, what came on in 17, 18, 19? Because that's where, if people in Belle Plaine go back and look, that's where your taxes took that huge jump. What Do you remember what that was? Like, what was that?
In 17, 18, I would have to go back and look specifically. I actually remember it being much earlier.
And it could be. I just, for some reason, I remember, like, when I moved in 13, my taxes were, like $1,700. Now they're, like, $4,000. And I know, like, I always thought it was, like, 17 or 18 that they took a big, big jump. Now they've been, like, from 35 to 4,000 in the last 3 years. It's just been a slow, slow, slow.
I would have to go back and look to see where values played in.
Okay. There was a large increase in value, like maybe 7 years ago, 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah, when we look at the levy, I thought it was much earlier than that. At 1 year, they were, who was with me here? Todd was still here. Steve was on the fire department. Brian might have been new. They had to pass a 30% increase in taxes because they had gone for so many years absolutely ignoring capital, maintenance, long-term planning, and avoiding some of those things. So they were only ever wanted to look at what was the percentage they were increasing, and that was the only thing they would talk about, not what the actual translation was. And they had done a huge spend down in their funds to the point that it was pretty dire for a while, and I can't remember what year that was, so I'd have to go back and look.
Okay. Yeah, don't quote me, but I believe it's right when the housing boom started, because they were banking on all the extra houses that were supposed to be built and flopped.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions on this before we move on? The other thing I guess I wanted to mention, too, is if we look at the values, sometimes we talk about and we bank on the value increasing. The market is stabilizing now, so that's also why those 1,480, the value decrease as that real estate market is stabilizing.
Is yours the changeable document? Is it a what-if document on the...
That very first one is.
Yes.
I'll pull up. We'll go back to that. We were just going to try to cover what goes into that, and then we can go back and play all kinds of what-if questions.
Okay.
Yeah,
perfect.
We can go play with it later. Okay.
$1 million document.
So now this is the change, and I went back to how that monthly report now we're using to make it similar for comparison. So this is a preliminary budget summary by department. The first column is the 2026 budget, and then we have the 2027 preliminary. The amount of change is the next column. I pulled out wages and benefits to have a separate column, and the other is then other changes in that department's budget. The last column is the notes, and I pulled out the information where they had increases or decreases over $1,000. So general government, the change of $3,073, some was wages, and then the other amount were small increases. The other administration budget change, $8,053. This also reflects the subtraction of that part-time. We lowered the hours on one of the wages, so that's why the wage impact is slightly lower than other departments, because of taking out that part-time position or reducing the hours on that part-time position as directed by council. Elections is a decrease because it's a non-election year, but we still do capital for our equipment mandates, which we know we're going to have to replace soon. And then it goes into public safety. The police department wages, that's union wages. Majority of it is union wages. There's also training increase, general liability insurance, electric utilities, dues and subscriptions, and computers. Computers citywide, we have an increase on all departments. Computer prices are 8 to 30% increase. We also, if you remember, on the financial management plan, initially we had planned for an IT person. We have pushed that off to 2030 because it doesn't make sense yet to add that position. But our current IT, there will be a change in that. And when we look at new solutions, most of the solutions are managed computer systems, so meaning that you pay per computer to have someone come in and manage your IT, where we do not have that currently. Yes.
Back to the police department one, where we see that wage and benefits change. Is that because we're now fully staffed, that one individual's wages come onto there? Does that impact that number or not?
Yes, everybody, and so it's wages and the benefits. Our health insurance did go up about, I can't remember.
Yeah, I was just saying.
But yes, that's everybody. There's no new positions.
Right, but we had a vacant position for some time, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
And now you're fully staffed, so I'm assuming that,
correct.
I mean, because that's a substantial number, the increase. I'm assuming it's an annual wage that wasn't accounted for last year. Okay. I was just making sure I'm on the same page.
The annual wage, we had that person in the budget.
Oh, you did?
Yes, yes. So this is just the increase, the steps, and the COLA.
Okay.
The new officer started November of 25 at a lower rate. He has increased now that he has successfully completed certain aspects of his duties.
So the base was accounted for and then increases occurred.
So the 192,000 is benefits and wages, like increase for all staff, and the 47,000 is for training, electrical, utilities, dues, and subscriptions. So the 192 plus 47 equals the 240.
Got it. Okay.
And yeah, he started again November, so he was only on the payroll for 2 months in 25.
But it was included in the 26 budget.
Correct.
Increase of wages between 26 and 27 has to do with step increases. So we have officers that get step increases and cost of living, as well as then it adjusts para and health insurance and those types of things.
So I guess then potentially, I know there's overtime probably increase because you're missing an officer, and I understand that. But did we see a savings because we didn't have that officer, like wage-wise? Like we budget for it, so then the money sits there, and if we don't use it because we don't have the officer, did we use that money elsewhere? Were we able to? Did we save it?
We used it in 26. So the large increase isn't due to an officer being there. So we did use it in 26 because he was hired in 25.
Yeah, and if you're specifically asking about overtime, we are below where we were at this year to date than the prior year.
Okay.
And we average on those hours because they have years that are higher and lower, so we try to keep an average.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to take it in because it's 192. If every officer makes $100,000 and they all got a 3% raise, that's right there is $30,000. Well, that doesn't come close to the 192. So again, it's just trying to get to that number. How do we get there?
Go pull that spreadsheet up.
My math is going to be way off, but it's roughly 25% of the increase from last year to this year is captured right in that event right there. You know what I mean?
Yep. And it's not just officers; it's office staff and.
So what are the total number of employees in the police department?
13 sworn, okay. 2 administrative assistants.
15, okay.
Amy, is that one in J?
You want to pull it up by people?
Makes sense.
People's names are on there.
I'll hide it.
Yeah, it's not an unrealistic
but
number.
But I want to pull the wage
piece. It's just the total number
up.
Of employees.
Yeah, it's in, it is in budget, I believe, the update. I'm just looking.
it yet. I got to get there. I can't get to J.
On that 192.
I should be able to get to anyone. Amy, will you put it in this? Put that spreadsheet. Just do the clip of that. You can take the names out and save it into this spot that you've had me pulling these on.
How much is that?
Yes.
What is that? An hour? A dollar an hour? $1.50 an hour?
Then I'll pull it up for them to be able to see it.
Yeah, it's a believable number. Whoa.
But
increase?
Not just wages, that's benefits.
Oh, okay.
Era. Mm-hmm. Benefits. Work comp.
Huh?
Still on zip?
No, I was just inquiring.
You said that does not include administrative staff in the wage increases.
Oh, no, it does.
Or does it?
It does.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But only at the step and the union stuff is at a different percentage than the
right.
Admin staff.
Yeah. Got it.
No.
No, they got the same step increase as union.
When we bring preliminary budget, we anticipate if the unions have a COLA, that's applied directly across all staff, union or non-union. And then if a staff member, that's in this budget. Those are things you talked about removing.
Yeah, COLA, yeah, sorry. I was
yeah.
Step
well, the steps are similar because everybody's on a step scale that had to be all goes back to your comp worth,
yep.
Right? We, even though they have a union and can negotiate, ultimately you have to keep a point system and everybody has to be on a equalized playing field. So there's an entire scale that looks at all of that. And when we say step, it means basically it's years of service. And you move through that step system as you are here. And so everyone moves unless you have a reason to not move.
You stop at 8.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You stop at 8.
You stop
you no
at 8.
You no longer get steps at
you
8.
You no longer you get an increase.
Did you say four are at the end of the scale?
No, there's more at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you save it out there?
Not.
So their increases are higher.
You can just save the full
you're getting
thing.
A step
I'll
and full yeah, so yeah the
I'm
like
just,
the rookie officer would get a
I'm
bigger
to work
increase hourly
to what's going
because he's getting a step plus cost of living.
Gotcha.
Where me, I'm just getting cost of living.
Okay.
I still will make more than that rookie officer,
right.
But yep.
While Amy's putting that out there, do we want to look at the rest of the department pieces? I can help
yeah.
with that while she looks up, gets the wage information out there, mm-hmm. So we can look at it. No, it's a great question.
This is good questions because there's a lot more that goes into wages than most people realize.
We're going to leave the fire department alone.
One question I had.
Because we don't leave them alone.
One question I had with both Public Works and Public Safety mm-hmm. is fuel cost. How much have you accounted for in fuel cost increases or anticipated? I know it's like complete shot in the dark. How do you approach that?
So we approach it using historic. First, we start with historical data, right? What
mm-hmm.
do we use? And we account for any percentage add-ins that we have for if, like, we have additional streets or that type of stuff that there's more patrolling or more maintenance on for driving through. And then we look at what the market trends are, and we utilize that. I didn't sit in on yours, Todd, but I know that we had conversations. We're right at about 5%
mm-hmm.
of an increase across the board for fuel costs in vehicles.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those gray areas, you know, and the market's the biggest thing.
Yep.
We're not the only ones seeing the market. It's all of our other contractors. You know, we just had to redo a contract for our elevator maintenance. Because of that reason, because of cost inflation for not only fuel, but for product delivery and such, where if we didn't renew the contract, there's a hidden cost that they'd be attaching. So it's just one of those things that's straight across the board.
Yeah. You know? So that's how we do, that's how we approach it.
Yep.
We look at it sort of holistically. So we start with, what do we know? This is what we know we spend in the average. Here's what we know we've created by adding. And then if we start looking at market trends and predictions, how do we add that back in?
Okay. Don, I want to make sure that I talk a little bit about overtime. Would this be the time to do that or later?
You just hang on. We'll go back to those wages in just a second. I thought we'll try to get rid of through the rest of this page. Then I'll pull up. Amy has it out there now, so we can show how the wages work, and then we can talk about overtime. Anything else specific in this one that jumps out at anyone?
To understand the recreation department actually lowering, that's because we eliminated that position,
you
correct?
Eliminated that position, yep. Correct. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And is aquatic center COLA?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
And years of service. Mm-hmm.
And I believe recreation, you're also going to see there was a decrease in hours for ice rink staff that reduced it as well.
And we did not do COLA or increases for seasonal public work staff.
Correct.
Any chance we saw an increase in revenue from the Aquatic Center this year compared to previous years?
At this moment, the prelim look doesn't appear to be so.
Okay.
Good. Okay.
Cross my fingers.
You want to take me down for a minute? I'm going to pull that sheet up here. I just need to make sure I'm not exposing any individuals. Amy, which one did you put it in?
I put it in 2026, August.
Yep.
And then I did Finance, Ways, and Means.
The packet?
Yeah, the school was in the same folder.
Oh, you went to the presentation one, not to.
Right.
Okay.
Because I need to remember to get rid of it. I don't want it living anywhere.
No, no. Okay. Where did
poop go?
Okay, names are off, so go ahead. You can bring me back up. There's no name showing.
Right, I hit it.
Okay. I'm going to make this a little bigger.
Perfect. Genius.
Okay, we'll walk through how that works a little bit. Just to generalize, and then I'm going to turn it over to Amy. So we look at, here's the department we're looking at. We have the police department mostly shaded in blue, but it includes these additional individuals here. We talk about how their wage is divided out into these account numbers, right? Do we want it bigger? I can go bigger.
You're good.
Okay. So this is the accounting, so how we know where to look for it in the budget. Correct? Okay. So
between E and M, there's a whole other calculation. Those are okay. Just don't unhide A because that has names. You can unhide that.
Okay. So this talks about for 2026 where they're at on our pay scale. Right? There's 8 steps total. So this says each of these represents an individual. This is where they're at on our pay scale. Then we talk about, here's the cost of living that we utilize because that's what's in the union contracts. This is what the wage was in 2026. In 2027, this is where they should be. So you can see if they were at a step 8, they stay at a step 8, right? Because you're at the top of the wage scale. But if you were at a 4, you move to a 5. If you're at a 2, you move to a 3. So that moves you through there. So then that tells us what the 27 wage is. Then there's longevity. Anyone who's over step 8, there's a small portion that the city pays, but they pay it into a retirement account. It's not a cash out benefit. Otherwise, we run into comp worth issues depending on who receives that, male versus female, and department wise. So So that's the longevity, that's part of your wage. Once we utilize that information, we do the calculation for the distribution.
Hold on a bit. I'll go first in 21 is that, but not all the way to 10.
This one?
No.
They get this?
Yeah.
Because that's how it's written in the union contract.
They get longevity, so you can get longevity even if you're not at 10.
Yes. The number of years. It starts at
5 or 7?
Seven.
Yeah, it starts, they changed it. It starts at 7 years. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly to help those that are capped out on the wage scale.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Good catch. I did say 8, didn't I? Sorry. It's a 7 year. So, okay. So that's where that comes from. This is the distribution of that calculation. Amy, do you want to add anything about that? This is the straight wage calculation.
Yeah, we base it on 2,080 hours, and then we take in the long we added across. Then the, do you want to?
Okay, keep going.
The longevity. Then we have to account for when they work on a holiday, they get time and a half. So we have to, we don't know who's going to work on a holiday, so we take a person on step 8, and we make sure that every holiday is covered for the 11 hours shift.
Where are you at, James? You have a question.
It's not per person. It's just so we can get a number for the department.
I'm going back to school.
It's easy for us to calculate how many holidays and how many hours in the holiday and then just put it to a step 8. Because usually it's, you know, the seniority has a choice of, okay, so then, per their union contract, there's holiday pay everyone gets. PD gets the well-being because they cannot take time off their shift, so they have that. And then we have to account for a portion of people who have been here a long time because they can take a payout on their vacation time because they don't use it all. So that's our scheduled, like how much cash are we going to have to spend? And the auditors, we do this too, is how much of a, is that a liability for us? And then we keep going over. They don't.
I want to stop at that one. We have to plan for it to happen, even though it might not happen, because if you'd try to clear everyone off the books, we'd have to pay the cash out. It's a liability, so we have to account for it at least in some aspect.
Said a different way, they have the choice to take the vacation, but should they choose to sell it back, we have to have the cash value available in the budget.
Yep.
Got it.
They're able to do that twice a year.
And they have to be at a certain level to do that.
Yep.
So that top person got $23,800 paid out to you.
Well, that's what we calculate. They could.
They could have had
yes.
If they wanted.
Yep. If they're not taking any time off.
And if, you know, we hope no one leaves, but we have to assume that if someone does, all that goes with them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It pays out with them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Terminated or left.
Yeah. There's no withholding it.
And that's not, none of it's 100%. We do a calculation, like we look at.
It's prorated.
Yes. And then those two columns don't pertain to PD.
They pertain to public works.
And then PD, we calculate, you can sort of see there, we calculate 3 hours court time and something about, we also have to calculate overtime for if someone does take vacation, then their shift has to be filled in. So then we get total, column T is the total wages. No. That's just how we, just like we do on.
Yeah, one individual does not make that much money.
Yeah.
Yes. Does that help?
So then, what you do? You see that 1,611.
Yeah.
So then, what we do is we take that overtime number that's in there, and we split that into our budget line items. So you won't see that $1,611,000 for just a loan, because that number's going to now be split, and we're going to split it on our line items to cover some of that goes to overtime.
So, clarification when it comes to a comment you made about vacation leading to overtime because of vacation coverage, essentially. Mm-hmm. You're saying that based on current staffing levels with our PD and the number of vacation weeks and hours that they have available.
Or if they go to training.
Or if they go to training, anything like that, court dates, whatever.
Or they take medical leave, or they take family leave, or paid Minnesota leave.
So, essentially, we are paying overtime to cover that rather than adding a staff member to cover it. Because I'll tell you, like, what I've always experienced, I think this is also important context, in the business that I ran in the cities, we had to staff to cover that. So we're paying wages, benefits, and everything. There was a certain break-even point that we ran that analysis on, and it made more sense to actually staff than it did to pay overtime.
And we went through that.
Yeah.
We just went through that. That's why we hired in the 25 cycle.
Okay.
And now we should start seeing overtime trend down. But that's why we hired, because we just went through the, we were no longer at the break even by having individuals work overtime to cover shortages.
Our overtime line item, $116,000 for 25 and 26, and proposing no change for 27, keeping it where it is.
Okay.
In 2025, because those are the hard numbers we have, of that $116,000, we used $101,000. Okay. Of that $101,000 used in 25, $36,000 was reimbursed by TZD federal grant and by barbecue days. And this year, more will be reimbursed because we're now working Valley Fair.
Okay.
So that $36,000, though, $101,000 was used out of our line item, $36,000 was reimbursed, that $36,000 goes back into the general fund. But it still shows $101,000 coming out used. When really,
So you're paying it via payroll. It's then reimbursed by whatever.
Yep, into the revenue side.
Okay.
So if we open up the revenue side, you'll see an income coming in from some of those.
When do they pay that back to us?
Monthly.
Yeah, we don't. It's not a long term wait.
Okay.
TZD is TZD quarterly that they reimburse.
Was quarterly. Now I don't know with the new. There's a new process for the grant. I'm not sure
I think it's still quarterly.
I would assume the state's not going to do it monthly. It would be too much.
But just so you know and are aware, when Brian just gives you in a generalized estimate, it was 101 and 30 some was reimbursed, so you're at 70,000. If you look back up here and you look over to the wage, right, and we haven't even got to all the benefit stuff yet either.
Right.
So that's when, and we do those analysis. That's why we did add an officer back in 25, is we were at the point where it made more sense to pay to have an additional staff member than to continue to pay the excess time.
What is that break-even number? Is it about 130, 140?
That's a ballpark
for
a rookie cop.
Yeah. I'd have to look back at the contract.
But then it goes up pretty quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes up fast after years two, three, four.
Yep.
And the benefits, too.
You mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. The break-even includes that, right? Benefits? Okay.
Yeah.
We look at
the officer is hired in at, like, 40-some dollars an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, that doesn't equate to, you know, 140, but with all the other para, everything included.
Okay. And then the last question I have, overtime, I want to scrutinize that. We have officers at Valley Fair. Valley Fair reimburses us for that. We have officers at Barbecue Days. Barbecue Days reimburses us for that. How about other events in town like All Wheel Wednesday, where four officers are on duty? I'm sure that leads to overtime. Is that coming out of the city's budget, or is that coming out of an All Wheel Wednesday budget?
Great question. So we do not pay overtime for All Wheel Wednesday.
Okay.
We will flex shifts on that. Night to night, we are not paying overtime. Sometimes what we will do is pay comp time, where they will get time off in lieu of cash overtime.
Got it.
For certain events. The main events that we are paying overtime for is to fill a shift when an officer is out for any reason, or overlap in their shift, they're held late for a case, they're called in early for a case, or they are involved, you know, a critical incident.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's never been the policy, other than higher attended incidents or events, to bill for those. So we only bill right now for barbecue days if we're required to have additional officers on. All Wheel Wednesdays, they asked in the very beginning. That's why the city still pays for bands and things like that every other Wednesday, that they had kind of jumped in on ours for that. And then when Brian talks about that, not only is it just the critical incidents here, but sometimes our officers are used in critical incidents in other areas. And so that does create the overtime.
Yep.
So we manage it that way.
You get the benefit of that as well from other jurisdictions.
You do.
Right?
Yep.
We would not get reimbursed from other jurisdictions.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. That's a mutual aid agreement.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Makes
sense. And same as, like, for the public works time, we started tracking it the last couple of years, the amount of time they put into things like barbecue days and All Wheel Wednesdays. We're tracking it, but it's not been something the city has chosen to start billing for.
Okay. Do we know by event what amount of overtime with the PD is associated event by event? Or is it just broadly?
You could pull up the billings.
By event. So
yeah.
Barbecue days, yeah, we have that. It's on their bill. They don't see what officer, but they see police department, how many hours, and the amount.
Okay.
You could also look at, like, payroll. You see, like, payroll. Like,
yep. Yep.
Okay. I'm done.
Okay. Anything else in this wage one before we go back to
done with this sheet.
The other information? Does this help?
Yeah.
Brady, you don't look
at... No, it does.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
I'm tracking and understanding it all, yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay.
It doesn't help. Like...
Doesn't make it any easier, but...
The wheel that keeps spinning in my head is...
Yep.
I'm understanding all the numbers.
Okay.
So I haven't found them, other than filling the pool halfway up.
Okay.
Only answer I got.
So we'll jump back to this department one. Did we have anything else you want to talk about here before Amy moves on to the next piece? Okay.
And just so you guys know, like, this, like, I haven't seen what sent out. Or
I did the line by line what you got so that you can review it and have time to review it. If you choose to go line by line, that's what I emailed you.
So perfect. So yeah, so this is just very high
summary.
Overview, summary.
Yep. Just to let you know where things are.
And you have time to go line by line. And that. And then we'll have a...
Yep, in August you should schedule an actual prelim when you have time to do that. Yep. So what we have left is we want to show you the overall levy, how it works, and then I can pull up the spreadsheet if anybody wants to play in the what-if game. So we'll go to the levy.
We did it last year.
And, Amy, you don't have the numbers on this one.
We spent like
the
30 hours.
I was planning to show mine.
We did nothing.
Can you put it out there? This one has the levy, but it doesn't have that calculation I made you create on the side of it.
Yeah, I'm going to put money.
Which one are you going to put
in? Well, if you can access J Drive, can't you?
I can't on here. I don't know what's going on. It won't let me. I have H, P, Q, And why? I don't have Jay.
So you probably don't have the early version, working version either, do you?
No, but
I'll get them.
Yeah,
just when I move them, I'll move them both.
Okay. Where are you going to, presentations or budget?
I'll go to presentations so I can get rid of them. It's in the, yep, up there. Council presentations.
I got it.
2026.
Yep. Okay. We're going to start with the levy. So. Okay. All right.
I think you're supposed to run around the whole
wall. So you do have a printout if you have a hard time seeing these numbers.
I can blow it up a little more if you want to.
Yes, please.
You tell me when you can't read it over there, when I get too large. Okay. Okay.
So we'll start at the left side is last year. The right side is 2027 proposal preliminary. The bottom portion, where that blue line, it says debt levy. This is our debt levies that we have to account for and collect the debt levy for. There are two things that there's yep. one that's highlighted. This is my older version. But I'm sorry, that's old then. You are right there.
I know.
Fund 352, EDA. So this is the fire hall. Our project for the fire hall right now in the project cash. So there's always two things. There's the debt fund, but then there's the project fund. So our project costs are $400,000 less. So we have cash of $400,000 that then by state law, I have to move into this bond fund. So it's going to reduce our levy for this bond. Now, what I've done on this 230, you see the decrease on column J of 52,000?
Yep.
I decreased it 40,000, saying, okay, the 400,000 by 10 years, that's 40,000 a year. You could decide, instead of doing a 10-year decrease, to do a 5-year decrease or a different type of decrease that you choose.
2-year, 1-year.
Why wouldn't you do 1 year and with the amortization?
Because the amortization was set on an equal playing field.
Oh,
right?
It doesn't taper off?
The amortization doesn't taper off, and we have at least 15 years left to pay on this bond. So if you would reduce the whole part, the whole 283, right, you could maybe get away with that for 2 years, right? You could reduce it by 200,000 for 2 years. But then you have to add it all back on, and it's going to be a large increase in your debt levy. So what you're doing right now are things accountants and finance people hate, which are called one-time accounting adjustments. And when Amy and I talked about it, we took the most conservative approach that you can use it to make an impact. It's within the term of the, and if it would go away, there's not going to be a huge notice in, we dropped it by 10% this year, but next year we have to increase it by 12% in order to make it up. So you could say, as a council, you could say, we're willing to take the gamble that in 5 years we'll have enough growth that the increased impact of 80,000 won't be that large of an impact, right? As a council, you have that ability.
Mike?
You're saying double it.
I'm saying double it. Instead of going from 10, go to 5 and play the, you know, you're playing a risk game.
Yeah.
And there'll be development in 5 years.
that'll help
development that has TIF most likely.
They all have TIF.
So,
but you don't. I mean, we don't. The business condos hasn't like that'll come on if Fogarty's
business condos
the garage condos by Public Works.
Oh,
that's not in here. The Fogarty property, they start building over there. That's on the agenda. So I'm saying there's things that are happening. And again,
you don't have to make this decision today. We just want you to be aware.
Mm-hmm. It is a choice.
It's a choice that the council will set.
What I would really like to see is we've got the bond payoff schedule. We've got all of the capital improvement plan over 5 years. We've got everything except, I think we have actuals for the last 3 to 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what about TIF district and abatements that expire, or whatever the right term is? When do those come in?
I looked this up.
Yeah, Belcourt.
So our abatement that we currently have with Brecon Place Townhomes, we have about 3 years left. The impact of that is $30,000, about $60,000 a year. We have with...
You said in about 3 years and the total impact will be $60,000?
Right, yeah, right now we're paying $60,000. If market value, if things stay the same. And Belcourt, we have two notes. Note one, we have 9 years left, approximately. Note two, we have approximately 13 years if the amount stays the same.
So,
the 15 year.
But that's not a TIF, right?
Yeah.
We've just signed that note, so I don't. So Brecon Place TIF, we've just signed that note.
Belcourt.
Yeah. It would be. It's a shorter time frame than what we originally estimated.
So it's coming in higher.
Higher than we expected. Yep. So we'll hit the maximum dollar benefit before the term.
Right.
Or
and that's
3 years from now.
Whereas.
You're saying.
Belcourt, 9 and 13 years.
9 and 13 years.
But we should finish it in a shorter time frame.
No, those are that if the value stays the same and we collect the same amount, that's how I.
That's the shortened version.
That's the shortened version.
Which this says values are going down.
And you don't know where Brecon.
Single family.
Brecon Place, we just signed that note, so that it's not been filed, and I don't have information yet on that one.
What about the other buildings in Hickory Grove? Do we know when?
Just to go back to Brecon Place, even though I don't have the schedule, the term is 2041.
Okay.
Hickory Grove, we have two buildings on, correct, Amy?
And for 2026, we have two buildings that have taken value on them. The two other buildings. I called the county to try to find what year. I said I need it by Thursday at 3. I have not heard anything from them. If it's going to be a full value in 2027 or if it's going to be a partial value increase in 2027.
Do we know what the current value of the two that are online are? What I'm getting at is just trying to understand every single piece of this puzzle. For 5 to 10 years. I want to understand, like, I may have a different opinion on how to peanut butter spread the taxes.
That's why we wanted, this is the conversation that you will be having, and whatever info we can give you to make sure you feel comfortable making that, that's why we want to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
Do you have it, Cynthia?
I had it printed out, but it's not in my packet. I can pull up. Scott, do you want to... Cynthia, while we talk, pull up the GIS for those. It's the two eastern parcels, the first ones that had the.
The other thing I want you as council to note in this prelim levy, because you're going to be talking about it sooner rather than later, is there is no levy for a police department. right? I want you to understand that. The reason for that is based on timing, you would not have a levy for 2027 for a bond. It wouldn't come in until 28, 29, depending on timing.
Push it up. Push it up.
Can we, like, can we take two looks at this? One is the conservative approach that we take today, and it does not assume any growth in tax base. It's the way that you've always operated. But can we also have a side-by-side look at some of the potential increases in tax revenue?
Yep, so we can. And those are the things we want to know before we get to the next meeting. And what is it? So if we give you Hickory Grove, if Cynthia comes back and tells you what that number is it that you want that fully incorporated? Is it you want to anticipate there's an extra $3 million worth of growth in there in residential?
I would only want to see what is active today that we know is going to either come in or go away.
Okay.
And it's the things that we don't have baked into the assumptions.
Right. So, and once we leave this, I'll show you the reason I'm asking and we're asking the questions. I'll show you when I get to the next piece.
Okay.
Do you have it, Cynthia, or should I keep going? So that's the two that are on for 27.
And I would guess that the other two would come on just because of on that first impact sheet, we had $28 million increase. I would assume that's going to be those, but I would try to get my information from coming. Yeah, so the values will be on for 2027. And because our apartment value from the assessor's office is $91 million for apartments.
Okay, so on this levy, so those are the things I want you to know. The fire department one, you have a little decisions to make on that, whether you're going to reduce it. We went after the conservative approach, 40,000, 10 years. You as council can change that, right? The other thing is that the PD is not on here because it won't be happening on this. It'll be happening two cycles forward.
Can you also tell us what went up because something dropped off?
Yep, we have 1 year here. Part of the reason it goes up is this bond comes on fully this year. We didn't have a bond drop off because this is some of the other fun things is when we finance things, if council decides to finance them longer, like assessments can be 10 years instead of the 7 we anticipated, it can affect the laddering effect. And we had a double bond on this year, so this one didn't fall off on this one.
So in that,
so 10 years ago when a decision was made, or probably 11 years ago, bonds double stacked for 1 year.
Yep. So in version 2, can you also put in, what were we just talking about before this? Oh, I want to see anticipated bonds. So what kind of capital improvements that are going to be funded through bonds?
So
that
right now,
hit us in 27.
Right here, it's this one, the 26 bond. That's the project that's occurring now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that will impact this.
Right, but I want to see 5 years out.
Oh, you want to see 5 years out.
Yeah.
We can estimate it. Again, we're guessing because we don't know the police department stuff. We don't know street projects.
I have it on these current ones, but I don't have it on the new. On the new project.
But we can bring that back to the budget meeting. So again, this is your general fund, so you know that department caveat that you looked at. It shows that it's about $474,000 on that department sheet you have in front of you. There was also a reduction of revenues, which creates this is the difference, the $500,000. This $8,000, that's the increase between your EDA HRA based on what they're allowed to levy on taxable market value. This $57,500, we put back the park dedication in the capital fund. That was what we had heard in some of the meetings. You don't have to. That was just put back. That's for future things.
What's the capital fund? What is that?
It's rebuilding. So, you know, the capital fund that we all talk about, where we budget for everybody's trucks. At one point, when the city purchased the land over by Public Works and then the Public Works facility, we spent about $1.2 million that we didn't have. So we slowly were pulling money back to build it back up. So we have a deficit in that account. So that's what this was for.
And last year, we pulled it out of the budget.
We didn't.
Yep.
That money that we already spent.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I borrowed from fire trucks, basically, and the PD building. So we did that one other time when a overpass came through. I think I took the Public Works building away at that time. Yeah. So it happens when they make decisions, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what those numbers are. This was the park money. This was the capital. Those were taken out last year. We did put them back because there was discussion about that from council. And so that's what this number is. And then this is your debt increase, which you can see right here where it comes from. And that makes up your total change. So we wanted to show you how it all kind of comes together and blends. Anything on this one before I move away from it? I feel like I'm pushing you later than you want to.
You're good.
Okay, I'm going to grab the other spreadsheet, Amy. This is the early version. And... So this is the one we have supplied out to you. It shows you that's where everything is. This is the one Amy and I created that we can go in here and play numbers, right? So what did you want to do? Take another 40,000? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Do the 40,000 for the fire.
Hey, before I hit go.
Watch the numbers for the no change.
Yeah.
Right now it's $120, I think $10 a month.
So I want, and you have this sheet in front of you, right? Do you want it bigger again?
I can see it.
Are we good?
I'm good.
Okay. So before I hit enter, I just want to make sure you find whatever number it is you want to use as your marker. All right. We're going to reduce it by 40,000.
20 bucks.
No. It was 120.
It was 120.
$12.
Oh, okay. Can you give me a $100,000 like baseline instead of 40,000?
That 40,000 dropped it from 120 to 108.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to go instead of 40,000, you want to see a 100,000 baseline?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Pick your number.
Yep. And so then, just because I know I'm roughly in the ballpark, but do 380.
Okie dokie.
It was
381. Okay. Oh, 380.
Do you want us to fix that for you? We know what the number is. You want 380 or do you want our number?
Do 381. That's fine. Do your number. That's fine. If you know it. Sorry, my rough math.
We've played the game, so.
17 cents.
17 cents.
What happened?
So.
The number is $381.
$381,000 brings you to a zero.
17 cent increase, a 0%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you do that, the taxes are still going to increase $800, right? Because of the school bond and Scott County and all that. So we can get it to zero, and they're still going to see $800, right?
Is the school on for this 26?
I think it's already on.
I think it is.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if it's 100%, but there is some.
Yeah, it's on
there. I know, I'm paying a ton for that. It hit already, right?
Yeah.
It did hit already.
There's not. Stop it. Yes, there is. Okay.
I'm going to have to separate you two.
It's not him, it's me. I know that.
I'm very aware.
I apologize. Okay, so $381,000 to get to that zero.
Yep.
Well, let's do it then. Can't be that hard.
So,
okay, so we will, if you guys have other questions or other things that you want to see, let us know. If not, then we will conclude this meeting, and then we will set the next Finance Ways and Means, which we'll do a deep dive into the budget.
Is that our goal, $381,000?
If you want to get it to
You flat. Have to tell me what your goal is.
Well, it seems like a good goal. I'm on board with that.
What did you say?
753,000. 8.5 million. Now let's get it to zero.
He something said 8 million. I actually. He said 700,000. You said 300.
I actually would like to see is in the capital equipment for the 5-year capital improvement plan. Can we see what amount has accumulated in our general fund for each of those already?
Yep. So we don't keep it in the general fund. We keep it in a separate capital fund. Okay. We can give you that breakdown. So, Amy, I'm going to make you take all the notes on that. So you would like to That'll see what's accumulated in the capital fund per department.
By item.
We don't keep them by item because sometimes the items change when we have individual departments that are looking at one specific item and then they feature that, find out that a different item becomes a better priority, and then we don't purchase that.
Okay.
So Public Works, as an example, if they were intentionally planning for a grader, right, and we know how much is going in that fund for that grader, but they changed now. They're looking at, they don't, I'm going to blow this. I'm so sorry. It's no longer a grader they're looking for. They are using a different piece of, they go to a different piece of equipment that they can buy an attachment. It's less, but it is more versatile, so they can buy other attachments.
So to specify, yeah, so you're looking about $500,000 to $750,000 for a grader on the low end, where we're looking at, we have two skid loaders. We're looking at getting a skid loader attachment grading system with GIS for, you're looking at under $100,000.
Yeah. So then when we change that, we can reduce that and it builds in.
Okay. How much work would it be to ask each department to put a priority level for each of these capital items between, like, priority one, you absolutely have to have it. Priority two, it can maybe wait a little bit longer than what's here. Priority three is a nice to have.
Yep, I think that's a reasonable request for each department. So on Amy's to-do list will be to ask the departments to go through the capital plan and list a priority based on the year it's requested.
Yes. Can I share? This is one thing we did look at the capital workshop. I can refresh it on my screen. This is a little explanation of how we come to.
I think we can do that at the next meeting.
All right.
I don't.
And then you don't want to take
They're just
time.
Asking for all the information. Mm-hmm. So I would say add that to it, but then let's ask each department if they feel like there's no way they can do that, that's their response. But we'll ask each department to do that. So
it'll be really helpful.
Yeah. So we have those two items. We also want to look at what properties may be coming on in the next 3 to 5 years that are not currently on, correct?
Correct. And then I can probably get the other piece from these two capital documents, like the capital improvement plan and capital equipment, where it says, is everything in the capital equipment cash paid?
Yes.
Okay. And then everything in capital projects is, it says how it's financed. And
correct.
If there's not anything there, it is cash.
Correct.
Okay.
So on that priority, you want it low, medium to high?
I want
or how
to
do you
understand
want it described?
What's like absolute no debate in your opinion,
okay.
Right? What's no debate? What's I've got a flexibility. It can shift back, but it'll eventually be a need. And then what is a, I'm going to just use like a nice to have type.
And
thing. Yeah, wish list.
Yeah, and for Ryan and Todd, the two current things that you guys are bringing forward, make sure like if we're list that in there.
Oh, sure.
Because we that's coming, so put that in there.
And what, yeah, part of this is I think that in this process, yeah. We should be able to scrub these capital improvement plans. And like we talked about the lawnmower on Monday night as an example. I feel like those are the debates that we should be having here in this moment, not like not necessarily in a council meeting. Because it's part of it really should be part of the long term plan. Just where and how. I know things change throughout the year, but
yeah. So I think from staff's perspective, it is part of the long-term plan.
Right.
I just think it just comes down to how council wants to treat that long-term plan.
Yeah.
Do they accept it when they adopt it and we just move forward with it, or do they actually want to have individual discussions? And that's a council decision.
Mm-hmm. The better we do on this, in my opinion, the easier next year is.
Is there any other pieces of information you would like to come out from finance before you have, I want to make sure we're providing the information requested. Did we miss anything?
When are we going to set the next meeting? Because I will think of something, so I want to know when the last date I can ask you for it.
I think August 17th is your next city council meeting. You have been scheduling your finance ways at 3 before that for conversation. You could do that as a budget meeting. You could pick a different evening. I think on that evening, though, we have a Parks Commission at 5. So I would either have to move Parks or we'd have to ensure that we're done with finance, ways, and means by 5.
Does Parks have anything?
I think we're waiting to do some goal setting, which can wait. And I think I was just going to update on the Prairie Park.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can send it out, do a email update on it, and I can push that meeting. I'm fine
if
with that.
If that works for I mean.
Yeah.
Monday would work.
As your Parks Commission's liaison.
Mm-hmm. 17th at 3 again?
Yeah.
Luke, does that work? Okay. So is that going to be your first budget meeting? Then that's what you want to set it as? And between now and then, we will get compile this information, and we'll send it out to council in a email.
Yeah, assuming you have enough time to put all of that together and get it to us.
I think we have a lot of the information.
Okay.
We came into this just for high-level overview mm-hmm. to get people thinking and let you have some time to digest the information and then come back and actually start tearing into things.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I think some of it, too, was in the financial management plan. Like the debt coming on 5 years, that was in the financial management plan, so we can
pull
that piece.
Amy, do you recall, what did the financial management plan project the impact for 27?
It was 200 some dollars.
So you're less than what you're over.
What, 207? 200,000. No, but for a household impact was 207, $207.
Yeah, so
I think it was 200 something.
Yeah, okay. Just so you know that's, you know, one of the things you use to guide us in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's helpful sometimes to look at that and look at where we're at. Are we on, what path are we on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is a lot, but then you look at the capital improvement for infrastructure in 2027. We've got everything with like 2 million in sewer, 2.9 in street, 2.7 with police. Can we break out the street projects that would be included in each year, or like what is currently in that plan year over year?
So we have the street plan. We do that sort of, I just want to make sure we're getting you the information you're asking for.
Yeah.
In the street plan, we have from Public Works, they have a sheet that says, here's all that needs to happen. That's the one where we went at, and mm-hmm. it's $15 million. And we try to stay between, is it 2.1 and 2.7?
Mm-hmm.
Between 2.1 and 2.7 a year. Mm-hmm. And of that, a percentage of it is water, a percentage of it is sewer, because water and sewer pay their own way through that. They pay mm-hmm. cash. We don't borrow those funds.
Okay. What I am getting at is, I think, to create a stronger long-term financial position for the city would be to lower our total debt service. And one of the biggest capital expenditures that we have year over year is street improvement projects. And every year that we have bonds fall off, we no longer make those payments. We replace them with a new bond, right?
Correct.
So what I want to try to find is any kind of capital improvement that can be delayed without negatively impacting our short-term finances that allows us to go an extra year or two developing a stronger cash balance that we no longer have to finance as much.
So you don't, that's a great plan, but you don't budget for a street improvement. You only budget water and sewer. So, and that doesn't impact the tax side. That's your rates.
Yep.
So you budget for that cash wise. You would have to start adding a budget in for a street improvement project and then try to build it. And we're talking millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So we don't have, and I can't continue to levy when a bond goes away. So let's right. just pick a bond. I can't continue to levy that and just put it into a project fund going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you either have to add a budget line item in to start creating that fund.
And that's where on the street improvement projects, that's where I would like to see, you know, are we going to do ash? I'm just going to come up with mm-hmm. completely random. Ash, Meridian, Hickory.
Mm-hmm.
And each one's $300,000. Can one of those make it another year where it wouldn't deteriorate it to the point that it's a complete reconstruct? And then you're saving that. You're planning and allocating those funds for the future.
Instead. But you're not planning and allocating because it's a debt levy.
Yeah,
you're gonna increase your debt levy on that one, and that we look at that every year, and we can do that. We can reduce we've reduced street projects each time in Public Works, and part of that conversation is if we add it in, we start getting over that number we try to stay within, right? Mm-hmm. The 2.1 to 2.7. If we add that in, we're over that number. Or we're not so far over that number that maybe we should do it because we know next year it's 30% higher in cost. Mm-hmm. And then when we're borrowing 30% more than we would.
Yep.
So it's kind of that catch 22 on those.
But your only real option is to go, instead of 2.1, you could go 1.2 to 1.8.
You could reduce that and say,
yeah.
And then your bonds are lower, but you have longer time it's going to take you to get to them. And it'll just stretch out the amount of time it's going to take us to get it done.
You mean the project?
All that's left in the streets, right?
Gotcha. Yeah.
So you could say, right now we aim for the 2.1 to 2.7. You could mm-hmm. say from now on our target's 1.2 to 1.7, right? So we know if your bond levy is $180,000 for a 2.1, you know it's going to be less. So slowly it'll start coming down,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to have more longer term and further out, and the expenses are going up.
Right.
So instead of saying it's a 10 to 15 year, we're going to be looking at another 20 years of projects to try to finish it out.
And that's one of the reasons on the financial management plan we did that option, to sort of give you an idea, a thought process of like, okay, well, what if we don't spread it out? What if we, and we get them all done, we're saving the value of the money, but...
But it's a massive increase.
But it's a massive increase, and
in the
then
short
we
term.
Can slowly fade it in. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, we would be up against what, like, Anoka and those other municipalities and stuff are, right?
For it was, I think on the financial management plan, they had another year of an increase, and then it sort of, yeah, and then it sort of.
And that's before inflation. Well, that's probably got inflationary mm-hmm. stuff.
Yep, on the financial management plan.
Unless we can all find an influx of a couple million dollars somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, where then we could start a street fund.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Okay, 3 o'clock, August 17th.
Well, 3 o'clock? Okay.
And just so you know, too, on the when you're talking about the capital plan, we did the sewer and water rate study will be coming to you in September, on, especially on the new project and the impacts.
Just send Tim. He'll be fine. All right. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Who was second?
Me.
Okay. All right.